and an expenditure thereof. It tells us that things are not working well. So
sure. This is very important. Thank you. Thank you. know that the same passion that comes in to come in us is that people are really responding on their whole soul. So the issue of language. I don't know whether it's happening today, you can understand how important it is. For the language is at the core of the social cohesion. When you listen to what is happening in Pretoria, one of the reasons why those bankers, by the way, are being supported to them today, as a friend to show that their girls are being called and they care about their family. One of the issues that is being raised, they are not allowed to speak in their own language when they communicate amongst each other. So, it seems as if the department doesn't understand the importance of language. It doesn't make which language. And your mother tongue language is very important. And it doesn't matter whether you're in an African school or you're in an English school, no one should be allowed to speak their own language. So, the second question to this is, I do hear the sports stadium statement for us. What are the reasons of the extension of these other entities that are exempted in terms of this language school? Can you explain what has happened there? So there is still the academic entity. In my understanding, it has to apply to everybody, including even the private sector state. Language is really important. So, the other issue is why are people disappointed, especially on some of the campaigns that are at the core of the disability that are not really adhering to. In fact, I'm not saying the response that I have today, now I'm saying the response that I don't want to be targeted. Actually, I also want to change everything. Those 46 people that are targeted already, are they sure that those are targeted? So that's another element. I'm not really sure where you are putting that. That was so resource in terms of education has been targeted. So most of the time, it's not just people who only like to look for the country, but it's targeted, it's being considered targeted. But for you and the country that is charged with this responsibility of making sure that the policy, the language policy is ready and targeted. I am very sure when you move out here and go out and research on that matter, I will be able to get the same results that we are presenting in this portfolio. Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chair.
Just one question with regard to the language policy of science and technology. Now, I had a problem last year with that particular language policy. I don't know if the department will address it with the department itself or with it. The reason being for the objection to that policy was the fact that Afrikaans is the scientific language has been excluded from that policy. And looking at within the Northern Cape where there's a scientific exposure with FKA and Lani, that even in that area, Afrikaans is excluded, and Afrikaans is the only language of communication in the Northern Cape, which is understandable by the whole population, quite better than things and better. Wherever. So in view of that, I think that even if, as my
Definitely, I think there is
for all languages, who really should we say to the Egyptians for right that law? We did their right thing. We think they just have to discuss Arabic issues. Now, I was going to share other issues. Initial churches answer. Why did the shape of this one? Language for our churches. Shouldn't they have a full faith established union in the international churches country? For me, all of us are only. I don't mind the rest of the church. So that's why. For that, important to be not to be a fully exempted. I find it very difficult because they are in the core of our country and language for our country.
Thank you, Chairperson. Obviously, individual circumstances of each individual entity essentially impact on the extent to which they will be able to financially support a language unit, which essentially means a unit dedicated to language, populated by language professionals. And members of the committee will be aware that the funding agencies in particular have a senior return competent team of administration under which they must operate. And a lot of public entities are very small. I don't know the number of staff employed in the National Jurisdiction of the Media, and that's a very small number of people. So it's not necessary that the National Jurisdiction of the Media involve themselves in language development and promotion of language and public heritage, but it just means that for themselves, they wouldn't necessarily have a language unit in house. It's also important to recognize that all national public entities, national public enterprises, and national government departments are able to approach the National Department of Arts and Culture through the National Language Service for translation and editing services. There continues to be terminology development in a range of areas. So there is a community of language specialization and language resources that can be accessed. So even if a government department doesn't have its own language unit or a public entity, it still has access to those language resources. But it comes back also to the normal question about compliance. I mean, compliance with legislation is a requirement for all the purposes. So the Act itself doesn't necessarily have a punitive fine or anything like that. But certainly as the AG reports on compliance, so departments will need to essentially begin a non-compliance reporting section of the audit. And that has always been the argument that the DAC has made to government departments, is to say comply, like compliance with every other piece of legislation that is in the framework, it is critical to embrace use of official languages, precisely because the questions of mother tongue languages are so important. But it's also important to recognize that every language system, which essentially deals with the work of the DAC, the work of CANSEL, which admittedly is challenging and problematic, the work of the Commission on Linguistic and Traditional Rights, education and higher education don't have language policies themselves with regard to those departments, but also in their own areas have language policies and we need to intersect. The issues that have come up in Victoria are certainly troubling and certainly not being isolated only to that. We are aware of other cases in Carlton School where mother tongue interactions have been restricted, but of course ABC for education in Carlton and Ireland Swiftly is dealing with those issues at the moment in terms of the education portfolios are other language in school. With regard to the service provider, both Member McCourty and Member McCourty will ask questions about the service provider. The language policy and planning unit of the Department of Arts and Culture is very small. It comprises, I think, four people. And if we're looking at the scale of the compliance issue, it became clear that even if each of those individuals works every day, 24 hours a day, on just improving compliance in the very large cohort of national government departments, public enterprises, and public entities, is that we needed additional support. And that's why a service provider was appointed. There certainly is expertise in the department. It was just about how could that expertise best be applied. In terms of the process, my colleagues before I'm going to speak more about that, but in essence, the regulations present a very clear framework for both the process and methodology of compiling language policies, but also the requirement for a language policy. It's precisely why those regulations are promulgated to really give clear guidance as to the requirements and standards of the language policy.
Thank you.
It's used in a community guiding principle in any teaching that we practice. And
and also looking at
to know if there are no other questions and comments, and we step off the next time. But as the Rosario Committee, this is going to be on our table until we meet Kevin. This is one of the issues that's going to be on the table until we meet the stage. So you need to ensure that you discharge your money. Because it's very important. Thank you very much. We are now stepping off this matter and we are on the presentation. Now we are on the social point. Oh, on the white paper. Okay. White paper. On the board.
Thank you, Chair. It seems very appropriate advice. I introduce the members of the panel. Next to me, I have Professor Andrew Sullivan, who is the chairman of the panel. And next to Professor Oliphant, who is the administrator, who is also one of the panelists. And next to her is Professor Gondo, also a member of the panel. I would request that the Professor Andrew Sullivan has chosen the presentation. Thank you.
So, Professor, we want this thing to come to conclusion. Because when we came to Parliament, what was the first question? Like 10 years ago, about 2.5 years ago, we found this process. And actors out there were telling us now at the portfolio committee, say, how far is this? And we came back to the department and said, actors are asking questions. They are pressuring us because they want this to be completed. And they are eager to participate in the contract meeting. And if we feel that this has taken too long, and as the portfolio committee, you're hearing, wants this to come to its conclusion, so that at the end of the day, the life of artists can you are most welcome, and we are looking forward to this.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the honorable members of the portfolio committee. Members of the Department of Culture and fellow reference panel members. I made a note here saying that I do not hope to use the word hope. But just before I make the official presentation, just some contextualization in relation to the point you have just raised about this. The process that was started, as I will point out in my presentation, the one we are working on now, was launched in 2015, that is last year, in November. But there was an earlier process, and that is the one which I think I'm referring to, which was launched in 2012. And in 2013, the Cowboy Paper was developed, and that was the group that was probably making presentations to the portfolio committee, which you mentioned. The minister looked at that draft and decided to abandon it, or to scrap it. And the new process was launched last year in November. And this is the process that we are reporting on. As activists and as professionals in the art community, we share the concerns about the extended process of policy development. You know, one looks for the broader spectrum of science, going back to 1996, which now 22 years since the establishment of the first democratic cultural disputation in this country. Normally, it's a corrective state for us nobody suggested this at that time. The Maiden Mother Chief got a paper with a provisional document that enabled the country to move from the old dispensation to the present dispensation. And since then, there's been great changes that have taken place in the country. So the policy has been reoriented, and the impact of the program that has been established in 1996 needs to be assessed, and the outcomes, as we're emphasizing the orientation. values and sectors, objectives, meaning and principles, how to support those features and subjectives, refocusing on art, culture and heritage in the community, revisiting issues on art education dependence, and training education and higher education. And look at the spaces and rights of artists, and then crucially and at the heart of the new institution of the
Part of the whole thing, the people are saying, partner and who is your sufficient partner? Is one of the reasons why there was a need for visualization from what you learned from that, or the time which is the cost of the universe. And why that makes sense to the extent that you can be achieved. I mean, the role.
working in 1996, I believe, working
moving and going against the status question, we can do with this question, can we do that? Then we would like to see the reduced process towards the end, so that we have days and months and, you know, things like that as a portfolio committee. And again, when looking at the process, as the portfolio committee arrives at India, of utmost importance to us is your consultation with stakeholders. That is very important. Because if that is not carried on, at the end, there will be people who say, you are never consulted, you don't know anything about this. So I think it's good to recover when you do consultation, so that at the end of the everybody owns the end product. So yes, you will say, this is what you say. And I don't know whether it's envisaged that there will be any change, that there will be any introduction of new legislation or amendment of legislation that is there already. But looking at all the things that you are proposing, because I believe that it's important to have anticipation, to anticipate what may happen, so that as we move on, we prepare, or we all prepare ourselves as we move on. Thank you.
Thank you for the advice. Yes, we should say, so we came into the room, thank you.
Thank you. if that project has to be in legal way to keep the evidence of the National Automated Academy Commission to check out systems, which is a reason that NAS and the new one back project. The NAS, website went live on the 9th of June during the International Archive Day. And we went to the State Information Negotiation system in terms of providing itself. So the aim is that the system or the database provide for all the documentation that we currently house in the 9th project and also other resources on the we say that we went live on the 9th of June of the first phase of the project, and the second phase that is now starting in the current financial year, which is the The kind of information that is available on there, the NERS database contains information on records created by the team, all collected by the National Department, the Provincial Department, and other it contains information on oral sources, photographs, books, photographic material, non-public records, and audiovisual material, which is then the material that is the National Archives of Poetry, Victoria, and also the National Creative Studio and Sound Archives that we have. Currently, there are about 8 million entries of information in the database. Just to say, if a researcher checks on the database or on the website for particular information, it will need to show that the information is available and then it will tell in the paper archive or in the manner because all the information is then available in the database. In the mission phases, the phase one is the one that we've done. In terms of phase two, we're looking at implementing a software called Akamatica. Akamatica is a software that will allow us to, because now we are in the digital era. What had happened previously was that the provisional repository will still inform sense of the provisional records and capture in the system. But now the new software will then allow the electronic records to inject that into the system. That will also now talk to the issues of electronic records management. We also plan to implement the automated file sharing system. Currently we've got what we call a strong room of several behavioral help in the archive. We have the systems to know to go to the correct record, but we would like it to be able to check from the system that a particular folder with a particular calculation is in setting up the particular room and also then check back and forth. The e-commerce, we plan, because now we are also in the digitalization era or in the technological era, the phase will include the digitalization of material and for people to be able to buy material or to prototype material and they need to pay for copies and then they can pay by the through the e-commerce process. This process also need a lot of discussion and involvement of shareholders. In connection with provincial archive services systems, as I mentioned earlier on, that we'll be able to, if it's promised, we'll be able to upload their information on the system and then it then becomes available immediately in helping in the form. As I found to improve the search functionality in the internet, that also will be implemented as part of the implementation. Currently, there is one can check information, but this one will provide a detailed information and also use the system number. The link to different databases and how to work at other website and collaboration with the participation institutions. In our third phase, the technology and digital plans are quite in the final phase. they use also the voice recording as much as people and then taking it to the system. Currently, one of the people who has initial delivery is the voice of the official representative of the Council of the Council. This is the new website ahead. Work in progress. We are also, the researchers and also the authorities and our community to give feedback. So then we update the other project that we are dealing with all these departments, which we at the time of the year, which was the interim phase, is the commercial part. It's a program for digitized in partnership with the French Institute of Audiovisual, which is INA. The project was it came over of this digitized program for running from the middle of March 2016, and it was in the first event for after 6 years in the voice could be heard. Another interesting aspect of it was that the event happened at the courtroom when the actual Sharia was conducted. We also invited the Sharia and also the legal representatives, some of the community. The project was funded by the INA and also the Department of Cultural Research and Funding. Just indicated as well that this project has now been nominated for the international film company, and the award will be held in October 2016 in Poland. We've been invited to send a person to present the department, because we are now one of the 9 nominated children. So we hope to we get the prize, because for us this is the first project. The digitization of the user papers, which is also linked to the financial report, also done. We received the also access from the Nelson Mandela Foundation, and the Brenda's Library, it was done at the end of the financial year. These papers have been digitized. The agreement was that we also share the digital content and that has been done. We, in terms of the archives, we conduct annual archives awareness week every May of each year. And in this particular year, it was in, we did the annual archives awareness week in Bumalanga from the 9th to the 15th of May. And in terms of the aim of the event, to create awareness of the services of the archival institution, as well as the importance of bringing people together to experience the unique archival heritage of the country. It is also the time to focus on the importance of records of enduring value and to enhance public recognition for the team and the program that are focused on improving our community's vital historical archive. The work of the National Film, Video, Sound, and Sound Archive, research and record management, preservation and automation, and outreach are also highlighted during this week. The Deputy Minister launched the event in Bumalanga under the theme Archive for the Protection of Human Rights, Transparency, and Good Governance. It was in Bumalanga in Momel. And it was rolled out in four districts of Bumalanga, that is Ekandeni, Kaberaka, Kibande, and Nangala. And there was participation by Malawi, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe, which kind of sent two of the athletes who also participated in the public event and also shared experiences to the minister of state in the Indian global event. The other event that we have at the department is the Oral Teacher Conference. At the department, we have for the view that it is information that is too complex, like what we have in the record. We need to get information that is not in clarity in our information. So if a part of the process, you will then be having the organization conference, and this is also an annual event. For 2016, it's going to happen during the week of 11th and 14th of October. For the system conference is Chances, Memories and Anniversary, celebrating our common past. There is a variety of staff teams, which are listed here there, which includes the matches and awards, political struggles and activisms, the constitution and other related frameworks, citizenship, democracy and human rights, media policies, hidden transcripts and censorship, remember and struggles, starting heroes and these are the staff teams that we issued in terms of the feedback that we presented in the conference during the October. What is then currently, so what we do before we get to the problem, we verify the conference is in the system of the flood in 2011, with the Corona tag and the state is not in. We then conduct the oral history training on for learners. Learners then conduct oral history that sets the problem and that culminates in them presenting a concept in the conference. So we've done that in Boko already in terms of the training. The archives participate in terms of provision of standards with the special management function by the National Archives of the Service of South Africa. And the responsibility to all of the powers, including the government department and ministries, the two ministries, and also other authorities like Japan, just to make an example. So it's actually the role that the archives is responsible for. We also have to keep up with the international standards. We then work with the Pakistan Bureau of Standards locally, and we participate in various standards, and in particular with a committee, which is a central committee for the that is looking at information and documentation. And as part of this process, one of our colleagues attended a meeting sent by the role that is communicated by the National Archives to help the provincial archives as well. Strengthening good governance, the issue of record management in the department, we put the regulatory role, also the provinces have the role in the provinces. However, we believe that we have to work together with other partners in the process, and we found the MOU in 2012 for the Church of Pakistan, and especially the knowledge commission and humans of AGF. The purpose of the MOU was to share, specifically for AGF, to share the information and knowledge on the findings related to the commission and the department, and it is necessary to the kind of any audit. And also for us to work together in presenting a training in terms of the commission, really for the highlighted certain gaps in the process, or in terms of provision of management and care of the airport. We also agreed to share information related to any other area that falls in the secret of mandate of the two. In the process, we identified that we need more stakeholders that are responsible, that will help us to get to the point of proper what is well proof of the record of municipality that which has run. The same information technology agency is because the English technology that we have, we are moving, as mentioned, the website, may I mention the database, and we are looking at electronic information they use to help us and guide in terms of implementing electronic information systems in the country. The Spanish playing and monitoring information in the presidency also play a key role in terms of helping the Department of Education and Administration, they are also a key stakeholder because one of the things which I'll come to later on is part of their view of the National Academic and the Competence Act. Is that in the Act, we indicated that the record manager, the department, made the government a record manager to manage the record in the department or in the institution. We also now propose that change because we realize that in the implementation sometimes I think people don't necessarily do the work as expected and then we work in that way to get the company. So one other thing that we are also proposing with the SPA is that the issue of the cost machine must be part of the core machines and confuse that of the machine. Edge to other authorities and financial information and leadership and all that. But that is the discussion that we are having a few teams of the stakeholders. Just in case the seminars that were already conducted that we do in partnership with the AGFA, the National Archives and the Provincial Archives. Those are the dates from July 2015 and the latest one has been heading for the trying to cover all the various problems. The review of the National Archives and Records Service of South Africa Act for Development of the Family Act. The Act is 1996 and since then down the line there's been a lot of changes in the sector. The commercialization of the archives, the technology has taken over as well, and there's been also other legislation that came in, for example, the Promotion of Access to Information Act, which also has got some impact on the work of the archives. So, and then we definitely realize we need to meet that improve. The plan that we have, I think we person, and we have the same no accept and we accepted that. And we then, with the National Archives about the Council, we presented to the Council that they would have to help us to run the process of the review. I must say there has been a process before where if a family has been identified in the previous National Archives as a council, identified in certain areas, and if we are working as well as identifying certain areas, there are other areas that are indicated of the end of the happen. So there is some work that has already been done. But we have now agreed with the new council that they have a committee of policy and distributed review that are going to run the process. The process for us. I think it's very much part of it as the archive sector. And in terms of the process, so we had a meeting in July, the first meeting of the council, where we presented the need for the review of the act and indicated the work that has been done so far. The next cultural defense of the Chinese people. So in this time around, I think it is the view of the end, the case is to cost. And then the cost thing will also take its toll. For the plans, for the demand, for the economic impact. A new process has been done before the any legislation is now in the socio-economic impact assessment, but it's also then the same thing that I expect from January to March. The plan is to submit the revised legislation to cabinet in 2019. I must say now, I think there was was in the room, there was a serious discussion and the question about whether there will be a change in legislation. But the process might then be significantly affected by the proposed resolution of the body. The National Archives are very concerned. In terms of Section 6 of the National Archives Service Act of South Africa, the minister has to appoint a counselor. The counselor has been appointed for the chair term of April 2018 to March 2019. In terms of the act, the six members of the public are made from the people that are knowledgeable of the archives. The six members that have been appointed is Professor Peter Mulumba. He's a professor at the University of South Africa, and Professor Mwanda, as well as last year, and his professor today is the chairperson. Advocate in Harvard, just to be the Matena. Dr. Pareta, who has been nominated for the president of the country, has been nominated to be chairperson and to be in the chair of the Deputy Chairperson on the 10th of July. And then there's Ms. Kena. As part of the council, there's supposed to be a provincial representative. And the provincial representative is the chairperson of the Provincial Advisory Committee or in the absence of a provincial council, the MEC of the province needs to appoint a person in part of the intent of the party process. Currently, we receive three nominations from the provinces, which is housing. The other two provinces are in different stages of nominating an representative. Because it needs to be a public process. could feel that somebody has case that through an indecent decision, and then just the thereafter the damage apply for personal practice. The amount of all these steps have then been taken or implemented. However, I just want to highlight the key issues that are coming out this fall. The consultation process was very extensive. Online conferences were consulted and other stakeholders in the archives sector. And this is right out or around the country, independently going to the various provinces. One of the issues that are highlighted by the as a Chinese, the patient of the Taiwan the currently is barring from national even from and even the structure is barring. In the national library, the archives are in directory within the chief directory of the National Archives and Library and the Arabic branch heritage function tradition. And in provinces, three provinces, the archives are as the chief and curator, the largest archives. In most provinces, the archives. On all areas, they are under the Department of Agriculture, agriculture, but it's all agriculture. So that has been found as a challenge, the profiling issue. The need for the review of the archival identification, I've mentioned it previously, is also in my head in that report. It says that the legislation was passed without crossing, was also highlighted, but now it created a challenge with the archival identification of funding. The human capital is still the previous challenge that we see. We have no resources in the sector, and where there are resources, the staff are it's an aging workforce, and the aging workforce is also a core skill that are needed to run these functions. The lack of equipment in terms of doing the work, that is like that also the highlighted issue, the low margin allocation for that process. Across the board. And in terms of the recommendation, that means that in terms of the proposed plan is to have the implementation for 10 years, 10 year program. And the final work for particularly appointment begins. The recommendations are to create a new all-inclusive archival model to include some of the following aspects. Establishment of the municipal archive that supports the purpose of the people. In further discussions on this particular aspect, the proposal is to have the spirit archive. There are provinces redefining the public records to include records and generated by the social policy. Earlier on, I mentioned COFRA is one of our stakeholders. Introduction of the negotiation and non-public records program that will focus on augmenting the current archival collections with historical South African archival artifacts located in foreign countries and non-public records of the UNICEF. We have an association policy as the archives that talks more to the as possible. How the bottom sentence is not that they must send him somewhere. It would just be clear when that guy leaves or his houses is going in here, because I think he uses a lot of things and that's important. And then the second one on the old Corona trial, I suppose the end is that the bacteria can cause a panic. How is it possible would be by government either that the trial for them, how we have that federal legal system.
Thank you, Chair. Another member of our committee is a point issue, but I'm not contributing to this. The conclusion where the committee talks about government, I think it emanates from the fact that we do recognize the independence. And the Department of Arts and Culture already was started working with COFCA, but where we are champions of the issue of archives, which I don't remember. Is that a treasure? In fact, these conditional crimes is our viewpoint now where we are engaging treasure, but also ensuring that the treasury understands the significance of archives in terms of preserving, promoting national memory. So that's the champion that what we have the department to ensure that government actually understands that the collapse of archives is the collapse of national treasure, or the national treasure, which is the national memory of the nation. So we are engaging with treasure in that particular area because sometimes we more concerned about friends and friends and not understanding that behind those friends and friends there are very critical issues of national significance that we always have to think about as we look at margins. The nomination of another area I suggested that we have to, as we do the amendment of the legislation, we need to tighten. Because I think we left it too open. What the legislation says is that the minister, when he constitutes or she constitutes the National Advisory Archival Committee, refer matters to committee to nominate. But there is no time frame. And I can see that that's an area that we need to tighten. In fact, we've already thought about this when we were contemplating to do cultural law settlement and be which stops. That would even just give 3 months as a deadline. And immediately after 3 months, then the minister must have your strategy. So it's not only about the archives. It was also about change of African names. Council, it was about the National Heritage Council as well as the African Heritage Association. In other councils, Chairperson, I remember, Indian administrative paradigm, because obviously they take South African administrative paradigm. They take crucial decisions in terms of permanence or development. Now, if you don't have representative council, those things can be challenged. That the council was not formally constituted because a number of provincial presidencies were not there. So, on that line, we then thought that going forward, we need to be very tight in terms of the time frame. I have no sense that the issue of the completion of the budget, that there needs to be a synergy, synchronizing as well, all these things, so that you do not have a white paper saying this, and the legislative framework comes in and says something different already. In that phase of the institutional arrangement, sure, members of Congress, but it's still already where the archives are located. Now, already the study that has been conducted, the feasibility study, it begins to have a lot of recommendations whether the archives should be then part of the department of the branch, or it should be a standalone like the National Library of South Africa. So, all those things are going to be taken into consideration as we do both the policy review process as well as the legislative process. I will give the technical part of the presentation or the question to call.
Thank you. The issue of e-mail. We have in the standards, we've got standards that were adopted at the National Archives, the South African National Standards, which is also coming down from the National Standards, which talks to the issue principles of functional requirement for records in electronic office environments. And if there are guidelines in this standard, which we then share with the government department and also as part of the training. So for them to be able to manage the email, the electronic record, and also the website. What is currently the challenge of the National Archives is the fact that this electronic information is supposed to be deposited to the archives after the 20 years of archival data. Then the problem, the issue becomes the space, the server space that I was mentioning as a challenge. We then need to have a server space that will be able to accommodate the kind of material or information that is based on the ingest, the electronic can be ingested into the website. And so those are some of the aspects that we're still working on. And as part of the phase two of the NAV system, that process of ingesting electronic or for digital record and digitalized information of part of that, so this is what we need. And that also applies to all of the small districts. And in terms of the in terms of the availability to the public, it's not available to the public because it's still now within most of the departments and institutions do have electronic systems that they are working on, but they need to transfer those the availability from the side of the process to that important. The issue of the volunteers, the information has been digitized, we need really available to the public, but then again, the issue of digital space. The sound takes a lot of space. We have put a request in terms of the server space and just creating data about 50 terabytes, we need 55 million for that. So we put in the request in the department to get server space. So as the information becomes available on the website, it will then be available for the public to access the some of the organizations, just the availability of space, which we are trying to secure and procure.
But I hear you saying that now it's the sound form, it's not in the platform, I'm not sure it's 40. Yeah. It's about platform, it's
sound of it.
Sound, the sound bites, and some of the sound is available in hard drive. It's not on the website that one can immediately go to. In the current website, we just showed the website one really in the question for the voice of Pantichek there. But that's now to say this is what is really available. As soon as the server is available, that information is then provided, and then all members of the party will be able to access it, and anyone who can use it to smartphone, they don't have to go to the archive, because then they can access the website anywhere. My colleague, Amelie Miller, will help me with the 8 million issues and what is outstanding. We were hoping to show the website, but we also thought maybe there was a time of connectivity in terms of showing. But as you say, once I just need to indicate what is available on the website, what we do, we indicate what information is available, what records. But the actual record is not on the website. So it will tell you a certain paragraph or a particular group of material that you're looking for. So when you search, say, I'm looking for information on this particular aspect, it will show you, and then immediately it shows where, which repository you can find it in. But now, the next step that we are going with the part of digitization is now to digitize the material so that you are then able to access it now on online. You see it, and you can immediately now search into it and see it online. But currently, it's not. It will show you what information and where it's available, then you still have to go to the repository. That's where that information is available. So that's what it shows in the website. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, colleagues. Just on the issue of the 8 million entries, I just need to add that these are the records that were actually transferred from the old website onto the new website. That's why it continues. So more entries will get in as records are being described and cataloged and what. So more information is going on to the name. So that you will just update it. So it's still a work in progress. But I just wanted to mention that the 8 million is what was transferred from the old into the new. Now we are continuing the process like this. Also, just on the next, to mention that it's not only the National Archive that is participating in this. It was what is called participating institutions. So for National Archives, you get also universities also participating in this. You get like museums and even libraries, participating in the internet. So it's work that is continuing all the time. So you might find that, for instance, there is a project that is happening in the Federation Library that wants this to be added. So they will just contribute the information about that particular project and then just add it to the net. So the net is actually a tool that guides people to where information is. So it's not that all the information that is on the net is just the information that is in the National Archive. Participation institutions will also contribute that information. So whether the station goes into the net or into the website, as a person is saying, I'm looking for information about this someone there, for instance, I'm just giving an example. So what will come out is that you've got information about Mr. Mandela at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. You also have it in the National Archive. You also have it in the provincial archive. I'm just giving an example. So that it gives a broad overview of where one can get information that they're actually interested in when it comes to specific, individuals or subject matter that they have to be researching on. So this is what NED, and the website is all about. Not just giving information about what we have as National Archives, but guiding people to other institutions that may be giving the information which is not necessarily the information I take at all. And then maybe just also just to give a comment on the email. Yes, indeed, a lot of decisions are taken on the email. So there is an email calling now that you know it's kind of people about what to keep and what currently what we're doing in the archives of course that you know, for whatever decisions that are taking for the we prepared to sometimes we just make hard copies of those emails so that they can be fired. So that if another institution says, you know, yes, we just take that decision on the email, but we don't have a record of that case if we have something internationalized that we can send you. So this is actually how we're managing the emails now, but the improvement of the emails that we can do the case to and you know other places
Thank you.